You're listening to The Dan Nichols Show.
It's a particularly memorable edition of The Dan Nichols Show this week. I am back in Bangkok. I haven't been here for a number of years. My last visit was hosting the Bangkok 10s Rugby Festival, some of which is a little blurred in the memory. Now returning not for rugby though, but instead to hang out with some world-class chefs in what is possibly the most exciting food city in the world, and this from someone who spends a great deal of time in Cape Town. And why is it so exciting? Well, it's a combination of extraordinary restaurants and absolutely fantastic chefs, one of whom is my guest today. He has restaurants all over Thailand. He's about as famous a person there is in the entire country, and miraculously, he's managed to find some time to come and join us. I am most honoured to have you on the show, Chef Ton Tasarakajon. Welcome to the Dan Nichols Show.
Hello, sawadikap.
This could have been a very different interview if things had gone slightly differently, because you are one of a number of very high-profile chefs we've had on the show. You could have been the very first banker we'd ever had on the show, because initially going into food, becoming a chef, wasn't what was on your horizon.
I was studying economics, you know, growing up like in a very Thai Chinese family. You know, my grandfather was, you know, moving, I think, you know, from China back in the day when they have some problem, you know. But now here I am, that, you know, the expectation of the, you know, Thai Chinese family in Thailand is very simple. You have to be a doctor, you know, engineer, or a banker.
Good solid jobs that your parents would approve of, that look nice and conservative and make lots of money.
Right, exactly. And that's what I thought as well, right? So I followed the path, you know, went into, you know, a good high school, you know, get in the best university in Thailand, land in the, you know, perfect faculty, which is economics, you know, as planned. And everything went smooth until I actually worked in the bank.
And discovered it was awful.
Yes.
it's obviously a journey that you were destined to take, because you're now one of the most successful chefs Thailand has seen. But it is a big call to make at that stage, because banking can be a very lucrative career. It can set you up for life.
Right.
You came from a family, your mum and particularly your grandmother were great domestic foodies. You grew up in a great food environment.
Yes.
What was the final switch that said, you know what, this is not where I need to be. I am not Ton the banker. I really need to be Ton the chef.
So it's actually took me quite fast. It's only 1 month. And I'm like, I'm
banking
done.
Was that awful. It took 1 month and you were gone.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, this is done, you know. I think if you cannot imagine yourself doing it for a month, you don't have to think about doing for your whole life, right? So I'm just like, okay, don't waste time. And then something else that I'm really passionate about.
What was that phone call home like? Sorry, I'm not going to be a banker anymore. How did your parents, how did your family react?
Oh, it was, you know, a chaotic and, you know, disaster, you know. We fought, you know, my mom, my grandmom scolding me, and, you know, we exchanged some word, you know, not supposed to, but, you know.
The whole family in mourning, Tom's throwing his life away.
And then, like, my mom started crying, you know. I was crying as well, because she crying. So I'm like, it's a mess.
I'm sure the impression has changed quite dramatically now, and we'll get to that a little later. But we sit here in one of your many restaurants, and it's named after your grandmother, and it's a wonderful tribute to her.
Yes.
You have this incredible food heritage. Yes, you studied, but how important was it to have grown up in a family where food was such a source of passion?
I think it's very important, and I think that's why, you know, I know I love cooking, you know, instead of banking, because it's quite easy for me. I actually, looking back, I feel like I'm very lucky that I'm growing up in the family that, you know, my grandmom and my grandfather always cook for me every evening. When I was a kid, I thought it's like a torturing, you know. I thought it's like, fuck, why they have to cook for me every day? I want to go out and, you know, eat burgers, eat fried chicken, you know. And looking back, I think that is, you know, is a gift that, you know, someone gave it to me and make me love cooking, because just seeing it, you know, just smelling it, just you know, trying it.
So food very much in the blood. The genes were there to be taken advantage of. But that on its own wasn't going to be enough. So you set off into the big wide world at a time when most people would have thought of maybe somewhere like Paris, possibly London. You went a little further afield. Why was New York the destination of choice?
I think that back in that day, exactly like you said, everyone like, you know, you're going to be a chef while you go to New York. You know, New York used to be like, you know, they think of New York, they think like, oh, you know, American, you know, like shit food city, you know,
all the French hot dogs and fries.
Yeah, all the French would be like, wow, where did you learn your cooking from? I'm like, New York. They're like, why not Paris, right? And, you know, back in the day, there's always a question. But I think at that time, the New York food scene is very, very exciting. I think it's growing super fast. And you have all the different kind of, you know, people, chef, and different ethnic as well, you know, to be in a super melting pot. And I think I would learn a lot in that kind of environment, you know, because I don't want to cook French food. I don't want to cook Italian. I want to cook Thai. You know, I know from the start that I want to cook Thai food. But the reason that I'm going to New York, I want to learn from the best. You know, just to know, you know, because at that point is no reference in Thailand. There's no like Michelin star restaurant in Thailand. So I have to get some reference, you know, how can I be one of the best? And I think New York was my choice.
One of my favorite chefs, good friend of mine in South Africa, Chef Wandile, not dissimilar journey. He also left South Africa for New York, walking the streets, knocking on doors, finding jobs. And he always speaks of how that didn't necessarily change his fundamentals, but they added such a rich dimension to his understanding of his own food by seeing it through such an international prism.
Yes, and I think that is exactly the same, because back in the day, like what, you know, they give so much attention, you know, when that New York, at that time New York is booming in terms of the local ingredients, you know. You get like the farmers, the fishermen coming into the door. Back in the day, I worked in 11 Madison Park. So they all come, you know, with the fresh produce, you know, from New Jersey, from Long Island, from, you know, here and there. And I'm like, wow, this is so cool. And back in the day, it's like, local produce in Thailand is everyone look at it like, wow, that is, you know, is worth nothing. You know, we as a Thai as well, we thought of our local ingredients such a low level, you know. And I'm like, what's going on in Thailand? You know, something have to be fixed, and someone have to do something about it.
Last one on New York before I come to this journey in Thailand itself and what a journey it has been. Mm-hmm. You worked at some of my favorite restaurants, places like Madison Park. You were part of restaurants that are, you know, elegant and glamorous and fabulous, but at the same time, part of a food scene that I think many people know through the lens of somebody like Anthony Bourdain, where it's frantic and manic and everybody's trying to kill each other in the kitchen. How much of that element was part of your food university, the life in the kitchen on top of just making the food?
I think, you know, to be very like, you know, transparent, I think they try to kill each other as well, but in a more polite way, you know, not like Bourdain, but
you learned so much there. Then came back to Thailand, and for many people, Thai cuisine, if you go back 10, 15, 20 years ago, it was your kind of fairly standard takeaway. You knew it was going to be particularly hot. It might, you know, flames on the tongue. You knew there was going to be a pad thai and there were some kind of standard dishes. And yet I look at the Bangkok that I've eaten in the last 5 to 10 years, and every year it just gets better. It gets more exciting. Uh-huh. And it showcases a food scene that, as I said at the start of the show, is as good as any in the world. When you came back, what was your vision of, this is what I want to do, this is how I want to show Chef Ton to the world in Bangkok?
So I have to say, like, I opened my first restaurant when I came back, right, you know, almost right away. That was 2013, which is about 13 years ago in Thailand. There's no such thing as like a food scene, you know. You're eating on the street or you're eating in the hotel, and it's
nothing in between.
I mean, there's a few, but it's not, you know, like today. And Thai food is no such thing as a modern Thai food. There's no, like, you never heard of, like, you know, a local ingredient. The local ingredient you have, like, it's on the street, you know. It's no one taking that and then make it to fine dining, and they don't give a shit where, you know, where this cabbage from or this fish come from where, you know. And I think that's what I want to change, you know. I want to create a standalone restaurant, you know, that's not in the hotel, you know, by a Thai chef who proudly cook Thai food and proudly use all Thai local ingredients. And that is my vision. And I thought back in the day that, you know, one day I will make local ingredient, like, super cool.
Yeah. We have a great word in the Afrikaans language in South Africa, yeah. Vinchat, someone who's a bit full of himself, thinks he can do all these amazing things. What was the response you got when you told the food world of Bangkok, well, here's Ton, I'm back from New York, and I'm going to take Thai food into this previously unseen space? Yeah. Were there a lot of shakes of the head, this guy's mad, what does he think he's doing?
Yeah, everyone like, oh. Here we go again, like the whole, you know, like all the kid that, you know, you think this kid, he think he gonna conquer the world and, you know, change everything. And yeah, you know, the first few months, it was tough, you know, because I'm starting from the, I borrow my mom money. I'm still surprised that she gave it to me.
Especially after you'd given up. Yeah.
And she said, like, this is your last, you know, the last bit of money that you're gonna get it from me. So if you fail this time,
that's it,
you know?
You're gonna have to go back to being the CEO of a bank.
I know. Right, which is could be better than now, but anyway. but yeah, if, the first few months it was rough, you know. It's not so much customer, right? You know, who gonna pay for the Thai food that cook, you know, in a weird technique and weird plating, you know, and quite a bit more expensive than they used to. And a few months passed with, like, some days no customer at all. And, you know, back in the day, that day, the social media is not a big thing, you know. You cannot just go online and post what you do and people will come. No, it takes time, you know. And then we just got a good break that, you know, a few journalists and the food broker, they came, you know, to check out on this silly kid, what they do. And luckily there is some nice article about us, you know, and we start picking up a bit, you know, surviving, not losing money, and you know, and the rest is kind of like history.
Were there times when you thought it might not work, when you thought, well, maybe this wasn't such a good idea?
I actually, you know, I have a few moments of that, you know, but for me, I'm like I told you, it's like, it's my last, you know, last chance anyway, right? It's like, you know, either I fought through the end or I gave up now, and the result will be the same, you know. I have to give up this career and do something else. So I said, yeah, I will fight to the end. So
you have Michelin stars, you feature not once but twice at the moment in World's 50 Best, you've television star as well with Top Chef Thailand, all of these incredible accolades. I'd imagine, though, that having your family, and particularly your mother and your grandmother, come to eat in the restaurant, that must be as rewarding as anything.
Yes, it was very special when the first time they came, you know, because to be honest, I almost never cook for them. And then when professionally, I live in New York for 5-6 years, I never actually, you know, cook properly for them. And then when I first opened the restaurant and they came, and I charged my mom, by the way.
Full price.
but you know, she loved it. And then it's a moment that I'm very proud of. And especially when my grandmom came, you know, back in the day, she was like, you know, 80 something. And then she came and then she ate, she tried the food. It looked a bit weird for her. She's like, what is this?
And there's nobody like a grandmother to be very honest about what they think.
Yeah, I know. And she's like, yeah, this not bad. I'm like, okay, I have a chance.
Not bad's the equivalent of 2 Michelin stars when you get that sort of feedback. It began this empire. Was that always the vision that I would, as Chef Ton, start more than one restaurant that would create this empire, or did it just kind of gather steam naturally?
No, I think it just it's come without plan, actually, you know. To be honest, when I start with Ledu, you know, I thought it's like, this is it, you know. This is only one restaurant I will have, you know. If you have one more restaurant, it's going to be crazy because I know how much we have to put in, you know. Back in the day, I have to, like, do everything. I'm the one who opened the restaurant. I go shop in the market, you know. I came back, I prep, I cook, I do the service, you know. I clean the toilet sometimes when we don't have people. You know, I'm not joking. That's like, you know, every day it's like that. So I'm like, no, this is just too
still,
much.
Still better than banking, though.
Yes. Yeah, I would choose this over banking any day. So.
It's built you now to a space where your own group of restaurants is considerable, and what you've done is remarkable, but it also speaks to a greater success for Bangkok as a whole.
Yes.
Has it surprised you in the last 10 years just how quickly Bangkok has transitioned into becoming a scene where around the world, people who love food are going, this is a city I have to visit?
Yes, I think it's astonishing to see, you know. It's like it's the rate of growth of the Bangkok cuisine is so fast that we have so many restaurants, there's so many good restaurants, so many good bars, you know, so many good street food, so many good concepts, you know, keep coming out all the time in these past 10 years. And I'm thinking like, wow, this is something I never expect before, you know, because when I first opened, there's no one else, you know, you look around, there's only like a few chefs who are doing, you know, as, you know, kind of like this, try to do the same thing, try to push here and there. But it's not like this. It's not like, wow, everyone ready to rock. And it's been like that for 5-6 years. And after that, it just...
It's now giving us a city where Michelin stars are in abundance and there are all these great chefs. That said, there is still a phenomenal street food scene.
Yes, yes.
How valuable, how important is it to still have that foundation, still have those roots to point to where you want to go as the fine dining scene?
I think it's very important because to be a great food city, you need all the range. Meaning that you have to be able to get the food that's so good and it costs you $2. And also you can get everything in between until $500. And I think when you have that different, that you can get a very good food from two and anywhere and up to $500 or $1,000, I think that's a real good city because you have a good food for everyone. Because for me, the good food is not for the people that have money or people don't have money. The real good food city, you have to have the good food for everyone and with every price. And we have that in Bangkok.
No, without doubt, culinary accessibility is so important, and there are few cities that can match Bangkok. How often do you get to still play around in that space? You're a television star, you've got all these restaurants, life is frenetic. Do you still have time to stop at the side of the road and just have a simple street food experience?
I think as much as I can, and always, to be honest, people think, you know, I'm a chef with many restaurants. Every day I'm going to eat at my restaurant. And it's for me, it's impossible, you know. It's kind of like you're the musician and you listen to your own music every day. It's just too much.
Well, look, I only watch my own shows all the time. Maybe I'm the exception to that rule.
Yeah. But of course, you know, I go to all my restaurants, you know, try the food, but I still enjoy, you know, to sneak out for some lunch, you know, around here, even all the restaurants. I mean, all over Thailand. You can just go, you know, from here, a good restaurant or, you know, expensive restaurant, and you can just walk, you know, 3 feet and you see like a stand of like, you know, barbecue, Thai barbecue that you can get and snack on. And I think that's the beauty of Bangkok. And I always do that every day. You know, I'm sneaking out from my own restaurant and go on the, you know, eat different street food that I enjoy.
It's a wonderful element of city life in Asia. I remember my very first trip to Hong Kong, seeing a little street stall that had a whole ducks, including the head and feet, outside a Louis Vuitton store. And yes, that was this wonderful balance you have in the cities. Give me some advice then. I've got a week in Bangkok.
Okay.
What should I be looking for street food-wise? And then also, given that you are somebody who knows this city so well, what else should I be exploring while I'm here?
I think for sure the street food, we have all the good street food around around Bangkok. But of course, I think the old town, like the old town part, mostly you find a very kind of like traditional street food that they've been running for many generations. And I think that is the one you should looking for. Even the this area of like the Royal Palace that they have, you have a lot of also the old street food. And you also in the Chinatown, and also the different part of Chinatown, which is now is called Song Wan, which is behind Chinatown. That area is quite, one of the hippest area right now as well. So a lot of good street food in that area. And of course, in the Kumbit side, which is you find a very good, pork noodles. You have the amazing, beef noodle that they've been cooking for, in the same pot for 70 years, 80 years, God knows, but that is super good.
All right, I'm going to write all of these down and go and explore with great excitement. I'm also getting to eat a couple of times with you this week, which I'm really looking forward to.
Yes.
And when we're done here, I'm going to have my very first meal with Chef Ton. So if there's just a blank on the Dan Nichols Show this week, it's because I didn't like the food and we had to cancel the entire show. That, of course, is not going to happen. What is the dish, what is the experience that you feel when I eat here tonight best sums up what you've done and how you celebrate this adventure in food that you continue to have?
I think I want, when you eat here at Nusla, I want you to feel like, like this is, everything is taste like the Thai food should taste, but somehow you feel like this is more elevated, more elegant, and in a way that more composed, and I think I want you to live with the idea of like, Thai food can be this beautiful, and I think this is what I want you to feel when leave the Nusla tonight. So
I've got a very strong feeling that that's exactly how I will feel, and I cannot wait to jump in to this menu. Before I do let you go, because like all great head chefs, you don't actually do any real work. You've got 50 people doing it all for you, and you stand in the kitchen shouting at them. You have this empire to oversee. Is there still much more to come? Are there still challenges that you would still like to meet, things that you would still like to do in the world of food?
I think I still, I think Thailand is in a very good, position in terms of the people think, Thai food is one of the, a good, delicious cuisine, in the world. But I think we can go a bit higher in terms of the popularities and acceptance, to be, I hopefully one day, maybe Thai food could be as good as, as famous as, Japanese cuisine or as French cuisine, I hope. And that's my goal. So
I think it's definitely heading in that direction, and I think beyond that, this creation of an identity of Bangkok as a food capital of the world is now entrenched, and you've played a very big part in that. So on behalf of the hundreds of thousands of people who've eaten your food over the years, and that number grows by the day, thank you for giving up on banking, because it would have been an absolute travesty if you'd continued, and thank you for giving us all the opportunity to join you in a very different career, but one that's worked out so beautifully.
Thank you, Dan. Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. In Bangkok, the Dan Nichols Show, eating fine dining, the food scene of a city that really is electric. A decade ago, maybe not quite so much. Why has that changed? Well, in no small part, thanks to a very well-known Thai restaurateur who decided banking, not so much. Food is the way to go. My guest on the Dan Nichols Show this week, encouraging you to come to Bangkok and have some fine dining, because, gee, it's amazing. Chef Ton from Bangkok.
You're You're listening to The Dan Nichols Show.